What's up, guys? How you doing? Doing all right? So busy. All right. So like Keith said, we're going to be talking about suffering for Jesus. The title of today's sermon is called Following Christ is Hard and Worth It. All right? So you guys have your notes and your pens? Good to go? Okay, let me pray for us and we'll get into it, okay? God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have the freedom to study it. Thank you that it's clear. That it has the power to change, that it has everything that we need for life and for righteousness. Help us to be humble before your words tonight. Speak to us, speak to our hearts, move us, transform us. Help us to see Jesus most importantly and be transformed better and different and more in love with you after we leave tonight than we were coming in. In Jesus' name pray, amen. All right, so thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you guys. I actually wanted to start with, like, this would just be a quick icebreaker. It's a quick would you rather, all right? So you know how this goes. I'm going to, like, give you a question. Would you rather do this or that? And then you just raise your hands, all right? Good. Okay. Would you rather never eat carbs again? So, like, bread, pasta, noodles, etc., or never eat meat again? All right? Show of hands. Never eat carbs? Okay. Never eat meat. You have to pick one. Okay, it's like... Okay, half and half, all right. Okay, next one. Listen, would you rather always have your house at 90 degrees or always have your house at 40 degrees? No AC, no heater. All right, 90 degrees. Okay, a few of you. So 40 degrees, most of you guys are choosing 40 degrees. All right, last one. Would you rather... always have hiccups or always be gassy? Always have hiccups or always be gassy? All right? Okay, hiccups. Raise your hand if you'd rather always have hiccups. Okay? So then everyone else, you'd rather be gassy? You have to vote. A bunch of you are like, nah, neither one sounds good. Like, dude, you got to vote. All right. Thanks, Reagan. Okay. All right. So tonight, we're talking about suffering. Okay? Specifically suffering for Jesus. We just talked a little bit about suffering in those would you rather questions, but tonight we're talking about suffering for Jesus. Now, I know that the word suffering can mean a lot of different things to different people, so can I just give you a quick definition real quick, and it's in your notes, okay? Suffering, real simple. Suffering is anything that hurts. You guys see that in your notes, okay? Suffering, we're just going to define it as anything that hurts, anything that feels painful to you, okay? So anything that has you feeling sad, has you feeling disappointed, we're going to call that suffering. Cool? All right, now, right now, in your notes, just to get your brain thinking about your suffering, I want you to take a moment and write down a recent or ongoing example of suffering in your life. So something that hurt or was painful or was disappointing for you recently, or maybe that you're even going through right now, okay? So everyone, you have to do this, all right? Everyone, there's a little space in your notes at the top. Write down one example of suffering, and you're going to have that in mind throughout tonight. If you have more than one, it's fine. Just write down examples of suffering. Real ones, okay? Not hypothetical. Something you recently went through or you're going through right now. Cool? All right. And you see how below that, there's this like big question for tonight in your notes, right? So what's the big question for tonight? I want you to write down this as well, okay? Because this is the one big question that we're going to keep coming back to over and over tonight, all right? It is, write this down, what is causing my suffering? What is causing my suffering? All right, so you wrote down an example of suffering that you're going through or that you recently went through, and then you wrote down the big question for tonight, which is what is causing my suffering? We're going to repeat that a lot tonight. All right, you guys good? Okay. If you look ahead in your notes, I've just got two quick points. They're not that quick. two points, all right, for tonight's sermon. First, we're going to talk about three different types of suffering that you can experience in life. And then second, we're going to talk about why suffering for Jesus is worth it, which is the main point of tonight, okay? You guys good? Feel good about where we're going? All right, let's do it. First, let's talk about three different types of suffering that you can experience in life. Now, obviously, this is not all of the types of suffering that you could experience or that the Bible describes. I just picked three that we're going to cover for tonight, okay? So three types of suffering that you can experience. The first type of suffering we're going to talk about is physical brokenness. You see where that blank is? Number one, there's a blank, write physical brokenness, okay? Now, physical brokenness is just the fact that our bodies, our physical bodies and the physical world around us, they don't always work like they're supposed to, right? There's something wrong with them, all right? That's what I mean by physical brokenness. Now, I'm starting with this one because it's the type of suffering that we all think about the most, all right? Like in all those would you rathers earlier, that's all physical brokenness. Like if it was too hot in your house or too cold, or if you were like gassy all the time, or if you had hiccups all the time, that'd be like physical brokenness of the world or your body, right? So we think about this one a lot because it's obvious. Like we can see it, right? We know what it looks like. So show of hands, I'm just curious. How many of you have ever had a pimple before? All right? You can't hide it. Like we've seen it, right? I've had a lot, so don't worry about it, okay? Okay, how many of you have ever had a really bad haircut? Like you went to the barber and then they messed. Okay, some of you, yeah. Some of you should be raising your hands. All right. How many of you have ever had COVID? At least once. Oh. Okay. Broken a bone. Been to the ER for yourself, not just for someone else. Been to the ER. Okay. All right. So that's mine too, being in the ER, breaking a bone. When I was in eighth grade, so your age, I broke a bone in a car accident. I wasn't in a car. The other person was in a car. So it was morning. I got dropped off at school across the street. Crossing the street, like lady, just older lady, she's driving down Santa Anita Ave in Arcadia. I'll never forget it. She doesn't notice the crossing guard, and I'm like, I just happen to be in front of the group. And she just goes right into my left leg, breaks a bunch of stuff. And so that's why I can't dunk. That's the only reason I can't dunk a basketball is because of that accident in eighth grade, all right? So we all get it, right? We all get this physical brokenness thing, right? And also, just on a serious note before I continue, I want to acknowledge that I know for some of you this probably hits closer to home than maybe I even realize or that, you know, other people here realize. Like, I'm sure some of you have experienced brokenness, experienced even death, physical death, people that you love in a very real way. So I just, if that's you, and especially if you haven't, like, been able to share that with people here at Lighthouse, your church family, I just want you to know that we love you and we care about you, we support you, and if you haven't found the help that you are looking for here at church, like, talk to someone tonight. Could be any, you know, Keith, Brett, your small group leader, your small group, anyone here, I'm sure they would love to support you and to know about it and to give you the care that you need, okay? I wanted to say that. We love you and we support you. Okay, so let's go back to our study of physical brokenness, all right? So here's what God says about physical brokenness, all right? Listen carefully. It's the result of something spiritual. So even though it's physical, it's the result of something spiritual. Specifically, it's the result of sin. It's the result of us disobeying God. Yeah, even pimples are the result of us disobeying God. So how do we know this? I want you to open your Bibles to, this one's going to be easy, the book of Genesis. We're going to go back to where it started, Genesis chapter 3. Now, you know the Genesis story, right? Like, you guys know this. In the beginning, God created everything, including people, Adam and Eve. He said that it was what? It was good, right? It was perfect. And then he gave them he told them you can eat anything. You can eat any of this stuff in the garden, but there's something you can't eat. One tree you can't eat. You guys know what it, right? Fill in the blank. The tree of knowledge of the good and evil, right? If you eat it, what happens? Remember this? Surely die. But then what happens? Satan tempts who first? Eve. She does what? She eats the fruit, and then she goes and tells, yep, Adam, and then he eats the fruit, and then they, right, so they sin. Okay, you guys know the story. Okay. So they sin, they disobey God, and then Genesis 3, here are the consequences. Y'all with me in Genesis 3? Okay, we're going to start in verse 16. Let me read it. So this is God talking. To the woman, Eve, God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So this is childbirth, and it got a lot more painful because of sin. And then skip to verse 17, and then this is what he says to Adam. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Okay? So basically, let me just give you the summary of this. He's saying there's not going to be this infinite fruit on trees in paradise, and it's going to be super easy, and you're going to have, you know, an infinite buffet anytime you want. It's going to take work. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take pain to do stuff, to grow food, to have stuff to eat. Like, it's going to be hard. And then if you skip to the end of verse 19, he says, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. What's he saying? He's saying you're going to die. Your body is going to give out, and you're going to die. So do you see what's going on here? The spiritual reality, sin, has consequences in the physical world. Okay? So because of our sin, our bodies are broken, our world is broken, we don't last forever, we die. So remember that big question that I said we'd keep coming back to? What was it? What was the big question for tonight? What's the cause of my suffering, right? What's causing my suffering? Okay, so this is one of the things that's causing suffering for you. You see where it says, I suffer because dot, dot, dot in your notes? So if you want to write this down, do write this down, okay? Go ahead and write this down. I suffer because I live in a world broken by sin. That is one of the causes of suffering for everybody in this room. I live in a world broken by sin. Write that down, okay? I suffer because I live in a world broken by sin. So when you see physical brokenness, guys, you need to recognize that's sin. You should hate sin more. That's the thing you should be frustrated about, right? So when you're like your allergies start acting up, or you get a hole in your clothes, or you spill something, or the Wi-Fi stops working, or you're playing a game and the ping gets super high and it gets laggy and you blame it on the lag, right? Like, remember that your sin, that our sin, that it is sin that is the root cause of all of those problems. All right? That is why the world doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Okay? Good with me? Right? Okay. Now let's think about this for a little bit. Think about this. Let's say you believe all of everything I just said, everything in Genesis 3. You're like, I'm good with that. I get it. Our sin led to physical brokenness. I believe that. It even leads to death. I get that. It even leads to hell. I get that. It has bad consequences. When you sin, afterward, bad things happen. Sin leads to bad places. I believe it. Here's the thing. Listen carefully. Even if you really believe that, you might think that if you sin, your suffering is only in the future. Like, it only leads to somewhere bad. But you might still think that sin is good in the moment. Like, it's satisfying in the moment, right? But see, that's where we're wrong. And that leads us to the second type of suffering. So go down to number two, the second type of suffering is the suffering we experience while we sin. While we sin. Go ahead and write that down. Suffering we experience while we sin. All right, let me take another poll. Okay, another survey. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say something that is fun in the moment, but you might pay for it later. You might regret it later, all right? And you tell me if you'll still do it, okay? You guys get it? So I'm going to tell you something that's fun in the moment, and you tell me if you'd still do it, even if you have to pay for it later. Binge watching a TV show instead of doing homework. Binge watching a TV show instead of doing homework. All right. Yeah, for some of you, you're like, that's not bad at any point, even later. Okay, eating a whole bag of your favorite chips or candy, like a family pack, like the whole thing. There's no in-between, no loopholes. You have to eat the whole thing. I'm seeing overlap between this and the gassy group. All right, staying up until 2 a.m. doing whatever, fill in the blank, okay? But you have school the next day, and you have to wake up, and you have to go. All right, some of you guys just do that. Yeah. Use it. All right. Okay. Now, for all of us, we have these things that we know aren't, like, great for us long term. You know, you might pay for it in the future, but in the moment, it feels great, right? It's satisfying to do in the moment. And none of those things that I just listed, like, they're silly examples. They're not necessarily sinful things. But this is how we feel about sin a lot of the times, too, right? We think that, like, satisfying in the moment, but it's going to maybe bad in the future. So, like, cheating on your schoolwork, for instance, right? Feels great in the moment. Maybe bad consequences, I don't know. Like, I don't learn the subject, or I might get caught, might get in trouble, whatever, but, like, feels good in the moment, right? You see how that works? So, like, another example would be talking about someone behind their back, right? Like, feels great in the moment. You know it's not good. It might lead to bad things, bad, you know, drama, fallout in the relationship, whatever, but feels good in the moment. Taking your anger out on someone or something, right? Like venting, getting it off your chest, that kind of thing feels great in the moment, might hurt later. You guys get the idea? This is how we feel about sin. It's the same. Like lying, lust, disobeying your parents, all of that, right? A lot of times the thing we believe is this feels really good in the moment, even if it's going to hurt later. Now, you can believe that sin leads to bad consequences, but still feel like sin is worth it because it's just a long-term versus short-term thing, right? So like, yeah, sure, a consequence of sin is brokenness and death, and it doesn't lead anywhere good, but in the moment it's satisfying. So it's kind of like eating that whole bag of candy, right? And then the opposite is like, if you want to obey God, that's like eating your vegetables. So for a lot of you, this is how you do your life. This is just, it's just like, do I want pleasure now and pain later, or do I want pain now and pleasure later? That's like the decision that you're trying to make. Here's what you need to understand. Listen, suffering doesn't just happen after you sin. It happens while you sin. Sin is suffering. Sin is suffering. Let me show you three passages that prove this. You don't have to turn there, but look at your notes, because the passages are printed there. All right. The first one is Proverbs 29:6. Y'all with me in your notes? Do you guys see it? Proverbs 29:6. Okay. Here's what it says. An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. You know what that word ensnared means? It's like trapped. Okay? Trapped. Have any of you had any mice at home ever? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Any, like, at any point? Okay. So the house that I was in middle school, we had mice in our attic at one point, and it was gross. You could hear, like, if you've had mice, you know what I'm talking about. It's like the scratching at night, you know, like the as they're running around, whatever, right? So what my mom did was she set out some poison, some, like, bait, right? And then eventually, like, you know, the scratching stopped. And so a couple days later, she was like, hey, Winston, you want to make some money? And I was like, yeah, always. She was like, all right, go up to the attic, and here's the deal. For every body you bring back, I'll give you $20. That was her offer. Just curious. Raise your hand if you would take that. That's awesome. $20. That's what I'm saying. All right, what would you charge? All right. Okay. All right, bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Okay. So my mom used poison, right? So obviously that killed the mice, and then I had to go get the bodies. That's the whole point of it. But I did do it. Of course I did. All right. We'll talk about this later. So there's a whole bunch of ways to get mice. I don't know if you know this, but there's a whole bunch of ways. There's like all kinds of traps, right? All kinds of ways that you can catch mice. Now, a lot of those traps, like a lot of those ways are meant to kill the animal right away, like, you know, like rat poison. But some of them don't. Anyone ever heard of a glue trap before? Raise your hand if you've heard of a glue trap. Okay, if you haven't, let me tell you what a glue trap is. A glue trap is just this like really thick, sticky piece of paper. And the idea is, it's especially if you have like a lot of animals, like a lot of mice, you can catch a bunch of them at once. And what happens is like they're walking around, they like the scent of it, they step on it, and then they're stuck. And then they try to wriggle, and then they get more of their body stuck, and then eventually they're just like stuck, right? And then you just leave it, like for days. And then it eventually dies because it doesn't have food. So just imagine what it's like being in a glue trap. Imagine what that's like. Like the dying of starvation is like, that's the easy part. Like by the time you get to, you're like, the thing wants to die. It's like putting it out of its misery, right? Because for days, just imagine, it's struggling to get free, has nowhere to go, getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. Guys, when you read Proverbs 29:6, an evil man is ensnared in his transgression, think glue trap. Like dying in the trap of your sin is not great. But you know what's almost just as bad? Living in it. Living in a trap is pretty awful too. If you care more about what people think than what God thinks of you, right? If that's your struggle, if you fear man, if you're doing people, you know, if you're a people pleaser, all that, you're trapped. You worry all the time about what people think, and it never stops. You, like, keep having to make them happy. You keep thinking about, oh, did I say the right thing? Did I say the right thing? You act differently around different people. You're always, like, being fake, right? You're trapped. Or here's another example. If you lie to your parents or siblings or friends or teachers or whatever, right? You're trapped in your lies because you have to, like, what do you have to do? You have to keep covering things up. You have to, like, remember what you said, and then you have to say something else that makes sense, and then you have to say something else that makes sense with that. Like, you're trapped. If you're super anxious and stressed about school, you're trapped because the tests just keep coming. The grind never stops. You're trapped. That's sin. You're trapped. Now, I know some of you have felt like this, right? Some of you feel this, like you get what I'm talking about. You feel stuck in your sin. You keep going back to the same old thing over and over and over. You feel like you have no choice. No matter how hard you try, you just can't stop. Now, some of you, you're like, I've never felt trapped in my life. Like, I feel free. I sin and nothing happens. I don't feel bound to it. And for you, I think that might actually be worse, if that's you. That might actually be worse because you don't even know what's happening to you. Like, you think you're in control. You think you're good. You think you're free. You think you can, like, keep it from getting out of hand. You don't even realize what sin has done to you and what kind of situation you're in. Guys, when you're trapped, the pain is not just in the future. Man, the pain is happening to you right now. So remember that big question we said we keep coming back to? What's that big question? The big question for tonight is, what's causing my suffering? Look at your notes again. See where it says, I suffer when I sin because dot, dot, dot in your notes? Okay, write this down. I suffer when I sin because I'm living in a trap. I'm living in a trap. All right? That's another cause of our suffering. Here's the second passage, Isaiah 42, 17. Again, you don't have to turn there. You guys see it in your notes? Okay, here's Isaiah 42, 17. They're turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Okay, so what's an idol? We talk about idols a lot at Lighthouse because the Bible talks a lot about idols. An idol is something we want more than God, right? And what happens to us, according to Isaiah, when we have idols? Look what it says here. Look at it again. Utterly put to shame. You know what that phrase means? Like, we're ashamed, we're embarrassed, we look dumb. We look stupid. That's what it means to trust in idols. That's what it means to be put to shame. Why? Because an idol always lets you down. An idol always lets you down. That's why it's embarrassing to trust it. For me, my one of my big idols growing up when I was in school, I cared a lot about what people thought of me. Cared a lot. Like, I thought if, you know, I wanted people to know me, I wanted them to notice me, I wanted to be invited to sit at, like, certain tables. I figured, like, if they think I'm funny and I'm smart, then I'll be happy. Like, I'll be good, right? There was a problem, though, and it was that my mom packed my lunch every day. She packed my lunch, and I don't know if you can relate to this. This is just how I felt. I thought, like, buying lunch was cooler for whatever reason. I just thought that was, like, the cooler thing to do instead of packing it, right? Jeremy's nodding. He gets it, okay? So for some reason, I thought those kids were, like, cooler than I was because they got to buy lunch, I guess. And then especially on days when my mom would pack me something that I thought was, like, kind of funny, you know? And it was, like, good food. Like, in retrospect, it was, like, really good food, you know? But I was like, dude, dumplings smell kind of weird. I don't know, it's kind of weird, right? So I remember this one time we were at the grocery store. I asked her to get Lunchables. Anyone, you guys know what Lunchables are, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, I thought Lunchables were, like, peak of the, like, cool lunches that you could bring. Yeah, do you know what Lunchables are? You're nodding, but Lunchables are just, like, a few crackers, a few pieces of cheese, and a few pieces of ham. Like, how are you going to live on that? That was what I thought was cool, right? Okay, look, there's nothing wrong with Lunchables. But you realize how dumb this is, right? How dumb this is. For me to be like, I live for Lunchables. That's, if I just have Lunchables, then I'm cool. Okay, this is the point. When you work really hard and spend a bunch of time on something because you think it's going to make you happy, but it doesn't, you look kind of dumb. Like, that's a letdown. That's embarrassing, right? That's what it means to be put to shame. So let me ask you guys a question. What's your idol? What is your version of, like, wanting people to like you? Maybe it is that. Or what's your version of Lunchables? Like, what do you want more than God? What are you chasing because you think it's going to make you happy? Maybe it's grades, school, success. Maybe it's your body looking a certain way. Maybe it's being the best at your sport or your instrument or whatever extracurricular. Isaiah says, if that's your idol, get ready to be let down. Get ready to be let down. right, so remember that big question we're going to keep coming back to, what is causing my suffering? Look at your notes again. You see where it says, I suffer when I sin because dot, dot, dot? You guys see that in your notes? All right, so write this down. I suffer when I sin because I'm living for something that lets me down. I'm living for something that lets me down. All right, we're going to move on. We haven't even talked about the biggest, worst suffering of all that we experience when we sin. And for that, let's take a quick look at our third passage, which is Isaiah 59:2, okay? And that's the last passage that's there. You guys see it? It says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. In other words, you've made yourself far from God because of your sin. Your sin makes you far from God, right? Because this is a perfect God we're talking about. So one sin, that's all it takes to make ourselves far away from him, all right? Now, guys, I want you to think about someone you really like having around. Everyone, take a moment to think about this. Who is someone that you really enjoy spending time with? You look forward to hanging out with them. You can't wait to see them. Like, you text them all the time, whatever, right? Okay, think about how you would feel if, like, you couldn't talk to them anymore, or if they moved away, if they're really far away, right? Now realize that as much as you would miss those people, all of them combined don't even come close to offering what God offers you. Because we were made, you and me, we were made to be in a close relationship with God. We need him. It's in our DNA. We're built to love him and to be loved by him. So you're only truly happy if you are near God. That's the only way you're truly happy. So what makes sin really, really hard at the end of the day is that you're making yourself far from God. That's the worst part, is that you're separating yourself from God. This is the biggest, worst suffering of all. You're making yourself far away from the only person who can offer you true joy and peace and happiness and purpose and comfort and all the stuff that you look for in your life. All right? So remember that big question we keep coming back to, what's causing my suffering? Look at your notes, write down this one more time. I suffer when I sin because I'm making myself far from God. Look it in your notes, write this down. I suffer when I sin because, dot, 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 I'm making myself far from God. So let me just ask you these questions, just to recap this section. Is your life hard because of your sin? Is your life hard because you're trapping yourself? Is your life hard because you're living for stuff that's not gonna satisfy you? Is your life hard because you're making yourself far from God? Sin is suffering, all right? So we've talked about two types of suffering, physical brokenness, and now the suffering we experience while we sin. Real quickly, let's talk about this third type of suffering. This third type of suffering we're gonna cover is the suffering, write this down, we experience when we love God in a world that hates him. I know that was kind of a lot of words, so let me say it again. The third type of suffering, write it down, is the suffering we experience when we love God in a world that hates him. One more time. It's the suffering we experience when we love God in a world that hates him. Okay, raise your hand, survey time again, if you can relate to any of these things. I'm just gonna say it, and you raise your hand if you've ever felt or thought this, okay? My classmates cheat by whatever, maybe using AI. I'm honest, they get better grades than me. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that. Okay. All right, next one. I have less time to practice whatever, sport, instrument, okay, fill in the blank. I have less time to practice because I have to do church stuff, so I'm behind. Or other people are better than me, whatever. All right. My parents, next one, my parents are so strict. I wish they were more like my friends' parents. They get to do whatever they want. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that. Okay, I got a lot of hands there. Okay, last one. It's really tiring to resist temptation over and over. Sometimes it'd be easier to just do what I want to do, just to give in. Okay, all right, a lot of you. You should know something. If you've ever felt this way, you're not alone. Okay, every faithful follower of God, every Christian has felt this way. Let me just read a few of their words to you, and they're printed on your notes too. Habakkuk 1:4, listen to this, guys. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Psalm 73:3, I was envious. I was jealous when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then in verse 13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Do you guys hear the frustration? Like, what is the point of doing the right thing? And then last one, Malachi 3, 14 to 15. It's vain, there's that word again, it's pointless, it's useless to serve God. What's the profit? What is the point? Evildoers not only prosper, they put God to the test and they escape. Like, they do bad stuff and there's no difference. In fact, they get off with it and they get off and they're better off for it. Do you hear that? How frustrated these guys are? Like, they're mad. They're fed up. They're saying, look at all these people, God, who don't follow you. They don't do the right thing. They don't go to church. They're not Christians. They cut corners. They cheat on their tests, whatever. They have more time because they don't have to do this stuff that I have to do. Their parents aren't as strict, and they seem fine. They seem happy. Nothing bad is happening to them. What is the point of doing the right thing? Do you hear that? Guys, that's the reality of the world we live in. The reality is we live in a world that's opposed to God. So if you follow God, you're running uphill. You're pushing against the crowd. You're different. You stand out in a bad way. Right? Like imagine that everyone in the world was a Christian, right? And it was all about worshiping God. It was all about glorifying God. Then like if you didn't study for your test because you went to church, your teacher would be like, oh, good job, A+, you know? Like your yearbook, the award that everyone wants would be like follow Jesus the most this year. That award would be like the one that everyone wants, right? Like if everyone is a Christian, that's how it would work. That's just not the world we live in, right? Following God is gonna cost you. If you're really following God, guys, you will suffer. There are things that you just won't do. There are corners that you won't cut and you will fall behind in some ways, academically, athletically, socially, whatever. In fact, for some of you, let me ask you a really important question. If you've never felt this, if you've never suffered in this way, had to give something up, had to sacrifice something for Christ, I think you need to ask yourself, am I really following Christ that closely? Like, if you don't get this, if you've never felt like, man, it is hard to be a Christian, like, how much are you following Christ would be my question for you. If you think that being a Christian is easy, I think you really need to ask yourself if you're doing what Jesus calls you to do. All right, so let's go back to that question, what's causing my suffering? Look at your notes again, right? You see in the notes where it says, I suffer when I follow Jesus because ... You guys see that? Write, because the world hates him. Write it down, because the world hates him. So I suffer when I follow Jesus because the world hates him. Okay, we got to move. So let's recap three types of suffering that we talked about. Physical brokenness, suffering we experience while we sin, and then suffering we experience when we love God in a world that hates him. Now let's move on to point number two, and it's the point of the sermon. Suffering for Jesus is worth it. Suffering for Jesus is worth it. Now that physical brokenness, we don't get a choice, right? You experience that at some point in your life, we all do, non-Christian or Christian, we all have to experience that. But there are two ways that you can make your life harder. Two ways that you can make your life harder. First, you can make your life harder by being in sin and being far from God, or you can make your life harder by being close to God in a world that hates him. Do you see that? That's your choice. You can make your life harder because you're staying far from God, or you can suffer because you're staying close to him. So this is the big would you rather for tonight, okay? Would you rather suffer because you're staying far from God or suffer because you're staying close to him? All right, maybe you know, asking which one's worse isn't that helpful. Let me ask it another way. Which one's better? Which one's going to make you happier, staying close to God or staying close to the world? I know you're at church, right? So you like, obviously, God. You know what the right answer is. No. I'm asking you, what do you think? Like, look at your life. What does your life say? Which one's better to you? Which one would you rather have? I know that we all know the right answers, right? Like, especially if you've grown up in church. I grew up in church. My parents became Christians. They started bringing me to church early in elementary school. So I went through elementary school, middle school, first couple of years of high school, going to church, doing youth group, all that. Like, what you're doing tonight. But the whole time, I don't know if you can relate to this, the whole time I was just living in two worlds, right? Like, one foot in the world and then one foot in church. Like Fridays and Sundays, I was doing the God thing, I was doing the Christian thing, I was saying the right stuff. But the rest of the week, like, didn't think about God a single time. I did my thing, right? I did friends and sports and games and school, and God wasn't in any of that. And then so halfway through high school, I have to, like, make a choice, right? I have to do the God thing or do my thing because, you know, life is getting busier. I have all these extracurriculars, super busy, you know, friends hanging out on the weekends. I'm thinking about college. So what I chose was to do my thing. Halfway through high school, I stopped going to church. My family would just go. I'd be, like, at home on Sundays, and I loved it. Like, I had the whole house to myself. I could do whatever I wanted. It was awesome, right? I was perfectly fine with that. So if you asked me then, yeah, like, I knew the right answer. I knew the church answer. But if you asked me then what I really thought, which one would I rather have, for sure stay away from God. For sure that suffering. I felt like that was way better than the suffering of being close to him. I definitely chose suffer because I wanted to be far from God. I didn't feel the suffering. I didn't feel being trapped. I didn't feel being put to shame. I didn't feel missing out on the one person in the universe who can give me everything that I'm looking for. But by God's grace, he pulled me out, he brought me back, he put the right people in my life at the right time, he has shown me over the years who he is. He's my friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's my counselor who knows every hair on my head. He's my father who will never forsake me. He's my shepherd who makes me lie down in green pastures, who leads me beside still waters. He has shown me that time and time again. Guys, suffering for Jesus is worth it. Every time, because being close to Jesus is the best thing you could ever have. So, if there's some of you who are here tonight and you kind of regretted coming because you wanted to be somewhere else, it's worth it. Listening to God's words from his Bible, it's worth it because his voice is more helpful to you than any other voice. Being with God's people, look around you, these people here at church is worth it because this is the only friend group, the only family that lasts forever. Some of you, if you're not doing well in school or your sport or whatever because you won't cut corners or you won't spend as much time as other people, it's worth it. Succeeding in God's eyes is worth it because he's literally the only opinion that matters. And making your life about worshiping him is worth it because he's the only one who can give it purpose. Others of you, if it's hard for you to keep honoring and obeying your parents because they're really strict or whatever, it's worth it. Because that's between you and God. That's not between you and your parents. That's between you and God. And he's pleased and he sees it and he blesses you for it. So can I encourage you guys to do something, right? Can I just give you one thing of homework? Find out what makes Jesus so worth it. Find out what makes Jesus so worth it. Spend your whole life finding out what makes Jesus so worth it. And don't stop until you've found an answer. You pay attention during sermons, you read and study, you ask questions, you talk with people here, you wrestle with God, you pray so that you can find out why he's so worth it. And he promises you that if you seek him and you knock on his door, he's gonna answer. All right, let's close. I wanna leave you with one thing from the book of Revelation, so turn with me there. We're all gonna go to the book of Revelation. We started in Genesis, let's just go to the opposite side, okay? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Let me just leave you with this. Between the Christian and the non-Christian, do you guys realize there's only one person whose life stays hard in eternity? There's only one person whose life actually stays hard forever. Because if you're one of God's people, if you're a Christian, your suffering is going to stop. Revelation chapter 21 describes this. Here's a description of what heaven and earth will look like. Look at verse 4. After Jesus has returned and made everything bright, here's what verse 4 says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. All of that physical brokenness, the suffering that you guys feel, God will put an end to it. No more allergies, no more accidents, no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. And then skip down to verse 27. Nothing unclean, here's verse 27. Nothing unclean will ever enter it. This is the kingdom of God. Nor anyone who does what's detestable or false, anyone who sins, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that suffering you experience while you sin, that suffering is going to stop because God is going to take that sin from you. All the temptation that you feel, the sin that you struggle with, the idols that you worship, gone forever. And the suffering that you experience because you're trying to love God, do the right thing in a world that hates him, that's going to stop too. Because heaven only has Christians. Heaven only has people who worship him. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be uncommon. It's not even going to be the normal thing. It's going to be the only thing. The only thing we'll do in heaven is worship God. That's what we get to look forward to together, the end of all suffering and the beginning and the eternity of all worship. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for speaking to our suffering. I know there are people here who are experiencing suffering, the brokenness of the world, and you give them comfort, suffering because they are in sin, and you promise to forgive them if they confess and repent and turn. And suffering because they're trying to follow you in a world that hates you. And you promised to vindicate them, and you see them, and you bless them, and you love them. So I pray that for each person here tonight, you'd give us the comfort that we need in the suffering that we're experiencing, and help us to do it together as your church, side by side. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.